All right. Raise your hand if you read at least one story, if you read at least one story about Bob Woodward being involved in the whole Fitzgerald Rovat Gate thing. If you read at least one of those stories, but you still have no idea what it means or whether it matters. Don't be embarrassed. This is a ridiculously arcane story. And because it involves famous journalists and people who work with famous journalists are writing the story about them, all the reporting on this new development is filled with stupid, between-the-lines journalism junior high school drama. And it obfuscates what is already a very confusing story. The reporting on this new development in Rovat Gate of Bob Woodward testifying is impenetrable, and you do not have to feel embarrassed about feeling like this is an arcane, weird story that you don't quite grasp. I poured myself into it for a very long time in order to try to grasp the truth of what's going on here and what matters about it, and I think I have come out with some useful tips. The first story on the Rachel Maddow Show front page today is basically the basics, stripped of the drama, a brief and to-the-point explainer about what is going on with Rovat Gate. It's not actually that complicated. Here, as I see it, is what happened. Bob Woodward testified for the special prosecutor on Monday of this week. He testified about three conversations that he had with White House officials in the months before Valerie Plame was outed. Who was she outed by? Bob Novak, right? What outed it publicly, outed to the press. One conversation, one of the three, was with White House Chief of Staff Andrew Card, in which he did not talk about Valerie Plame. One conversation was with Scooter Libby, the indicted guy, Cheney's Chief of Staff, who had to step down, the first White House official in 100-something years to be indicted while in office. Though in that conversation with Scooter Libby, Woodward says he has no recollection and no notes that say that he talked with Scooter about Valerie Plame. And the third conversation that he testified about, this is the important one. This one was with an unnamed White House official who did tell him that Plame worked for the CIA. So Woodward testified about three conversations. One with Andrew Card, not about Plame. Second with Scooter Libby, apparently not about Plame. The third with, who knows? And it was about Plame. Now, Woodward testified that he testified because his confidential source gave him permission to talk about that conversation to the prosecutor, but not talk about it in public. So that means that Bob Woodward is still not telling us who the senior White House official is who told him about Valerie Plame. We still do not know that. In the New York Times today, the New York Times says that all the spokesmen and lawyers have weighed in and said that it was not Bush who was that senior White House official. It wasn't Andrew Card. It wasn't Bush's counselor, Dan Bartlett. It wasn't Colin Powell. It wasn't George Tenet at the CIA, nor was it George Tenet's deputy at the CIA, a guy named John McLaughlin. A lawyer for Karl Rove says it wasn't Karl Rove either. And Dick Cheney? Cheney? According to the New York Times, Dick Cheney, so far, not denying that he was Woodward's source. Now, the online news source Raw Story says that it's Stephen Hadley, but who's the national security advisor. But nobody really knows at this point who is the person who told Bob Woodward about Valerie Plame working for the CIA. We shall see. I have to say, I do not expect that the identity of Woodward's senior White House official, I don't expect that to be secret for very much longer. Regardless of that person's identity, which we do not know yet, what does the whole Woodward story actually mean? What's the impact of it? It means that someone was leaking Valerie Plame's CIA identity to reporters before Scooter Libby. The prosecutor, Patrick Fitzgerald, said Libby was first. Turns out he wasn't the first. Who cares? It doesn't matter who was first. That's like saying, you know, I robbed the liquor store, yeah, but somebody else robbed it last year. Also, Libby is not on trial for leaking Valerie Plame's name. He's on trial for perjury, for false statements, for obstruction of justice. Whether he was first in leaking Valerie Plame's name is totally unrelated to any of that. Libby's lawyers are trying to spin this like the Woodward thing somehow exonerates Scooter Libby. They called it a bombshell to Fitzgerald's case. Total bullpucky. Transparent, ridiculous bullpucky. And the New York Times and the Washington Post headline writers went right along with them on it today, even though there is absolutely nothing about what's happened with Bob Woodward that means anything good for Scooter Libby at all. The other important thing about this story is that Bob Woodward kept quiet about this for two freaking years while Washington was convulsing over this story. Here's Howard Kurtz from the Washington Post explaining Woodward wussing out.
Bob Woodward told me today that he apologized to the editor of the Washington Post for not revealing for more than 2 years that he was a player in the Valerie Plame investigation. He didn't want to become a target.
So Woodward had to apologize. He kept the secret even from his own editors for 2 years. And in the big picture, what that means, if you take like the wide lens perspective here, the two biggest name reporters who have been totally in the administration's pants on the Iraq war, that would be Judith Miller and Bob Woodward, both kept information secret about the Bushies leaking to them about Valerie Plame working at the CIA. Neither Judy Miller nor Bob Woodward even told their editors about the fact that White House officials leaked to them that Valerie Plame worked at the CIA. And if you do not believe me that Bob Woodward carried water for the Bush administration on the Iraq war, go check Bush at War, Woodward's book, out of your local library for a hot minute and then come back and tell me that. I have to say, there's one final detail I want to give you on all this Woodward nonsense. Last night on The Situation on MSNBC, right before I went on, Tucker Carlson and Pat Buchanan were talking about the Woodward Rovat Gate thing. They're both very excited about it. And they were talking about how it was completely inexplicable to them that Woodward would have been able to get in and out of the White House for these meetings without putting his name on the Secret Service logs. How did he evade those logbooks?
He met with Scooter Libby at the White House on June 23rd, 2003. How did he do that without leaving his name in the entry log?
That is inexplicable.
That is inexplicable, Tucker. All right, gentle listeners, I will remind you that although Pat Buchanan and Tucker Carlson would choose to forget this for obvious reasons, we here at Air America Radio very clearly remember Jeff Gannon. Remember Jeff Gannon, the White House press corps hooker? Remember J.D. Gookert, right? He was a hooker from a right-wing website who no one could explain how he got a press pass. He was getting to ask the president questions at press briefings. In the investigations into the White House press corps hooker, Jeff Gannon, it emerged that on 14 separate occasions, at least, Jeff Gannon, the hooker, entered the White House without signing into those Secret Service logbooks. So if hookers can get in and out of the White House without signing, why is it so inexplicable, Pat, that Bob Woodward would be able to as well?